Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January 29th, 2022. It is Season 16, Episode 4. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 272-9228, 334. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us, which you can do by, just going to ingamechat.net. That's our website. At the very bottom of the website are all the links you can find to get in touch with us. Twitter, the link is there. You can find us at In-Game Chat. You can also find us on Facebook under that name. Email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. All of this is at our website. And you can stream. Go to Twitch.tv, and you can find us there. Again, a link is at our website, so you go there, click that. You'll be right there at it. If you happen to go to Twitch, then you can just type in the search bar In-Game Chat, and we'll pop right up for you. And don't forget about our Discord. There is also a link to that on our website as well at the very bottom of the page. That'll get you into Discord where we're at right now. You can pop in the room and chat with us live on the air. So there you go. All the ways to get in touch with us. And then our little board here. Ready to do the show. So welcome in. Yeah, last week it was the Microsoft Activision show.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a little bit more to say about that. Today may be the NFT show. Been trying to learn a little bit about those to tell you why they're pointless or worthless or whatever. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Let's go and talk about what we've been playing. RJ, we'll start with you, man. What you've been playing? I don't even know. Did we talk about? Yeah, we talked about it because we talked about Hellblade last week.
Mm-hmm. Haven't gone back to it yet because I'm still playing a GTA Online. There's another double money event that I'm going through. I'm playing the story mode of The Contract, latest DLC that came out for the game. The story involves getting It was a tie-in with the Cayo Perico heist, the previous DLC that came out. During that gameplay, when you did that, you had an intro with Dr. Dre and his group.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's in the game.
And he mentioned something about his phone being missing. And then in The Contract, you find out that his phone wasn't missing. It was stolen. And Franklin, years after getting the Union Depository job, has started a fixer business. So he's like fixing the problems of the rich and famous in Los Santos.
Mm.
And he needs a big client. And Dr. Dre happens to be that big client. So you have a VIP contract. And it's basically three.
So Dre plays himself.
Dre plays himself in the thing, yeah.
Okay. And he's referenced as Dre by the other characters.
Yeah, Dr. Dre, yeah. Okay. Real name and everything like that, yeah. And so basically it's like three separate missions. There's been three leaks. The phone was hacked and he had all his unreleased music on it. So someone stole it and started leaking it out. And there are three significant leaks that you have to go fix. The nightclub leak, the high society leak, and the South Central leak. It's basically three missions in each one. And then after you do those three missions, you get two more special missions to hunt down the person who actually leaked the stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about it's 11 missions total. And if you do everything right, you get money for each mission. And you get, since it's doubled this week, it's $2 million at the end, $2 million in-game dollars at the end of the mission.
Of the whole thing or of every mission?
Of the mission, the whole mission. When you do all 11 missions, basically finding all the leaks.
$2 million sounds small for that game.
Well, $2 million is like one of the biggest payouts you get unless you do businesses and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But for if you're playing solo, like me, a lot, it's one of the biggest payouts you can get. I mean, the big payouts like $4, $5, $6 million, things like that. That involves like 4-man teams with huge warehouses and things like that. You're not going to do that solo. But for solo payouts,
for
a solo player, you can get a big payout for that. So one is for me. That's probably why the allure of the Caio Perico heist was out there so much, because it's like one of the few heists you can actually do solo. All the other heists put your good money as well, but you have to have a team for that. Caio Perico, you don't. You can do that by yourself. And the contract in GTA Online, you can do solo. Maybe a little to have some difficult spots here and there, but it's possible if you got the skill and practice with it, you can do it solo. And since you can do it over and over and over again, you can do those same 11 missions over again and get $2 million per run through that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been working on with that. Other than that, I did a little looking into Guilty Gear Strive. They released Biken, the new character in there of Guilty Gear fame, the samurai woman in that thing. And they gave her some new skills and tactics, one of which was this new tether, basically. She can grab you and throw you in the game. And now, after she does so, she attaches a tether to you, so you can't back away from her. She can be up in your face and start applying pressure with her attacks, right? And you think that was a really nice thing to do for her. You know, it boosts her basic skill of pressuring people, right? And then I thought, then you saw videos that someone put out of how bad an idea that is against a character in there named Potemkin. Potemkin's a grappler who excels when you get close to him. So there was a video someone put out where Biken tethered him, and he caught her in a grab, did a lot of damage to her. But off of the grab, he was able to kick her up off the ground, and because she's still tethered to him, she was able to grab him in that super again. Hmm. So two supers in one go, because she was tethered to him and couldn't get away.
So was this in a tournament, or was
this is just basic play that someone did.
Did someone record?
Practice, okay. Yeah, you just practice and do it like that, right? So we looked at it like, oh, we thought it was an advantage.
Do you think we'll start seeing this in tournament?
you probably will.
Yeah.
People will get the idea that it's not a good idea to tether yourself to a grappler.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's not really good at their throws or doesn't have really damaging throws, yeah, do it all day. But if someone who specializes in grappling, not so much. So you'll probably see someone not using Biken against someone like Potemkin in a tournament or whatnot.
Yeah.
Other than that, I played a little bit of Virtual Fighter 5. I'm getting a little rusty because there were some matches where I was just, it was just a complete beatdown. I couldn't get anything going in the matches I had online, so I'm going to have to spend some more time practicing and playing that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it I've been playing this week.
Okay. So you didn't jump back into Hellblade at all?
No, I said, it was mostly spending time in GTA getting building up money with the stats doubled this week. But eventually, I'll get back into it eventually.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy.
what? More Animal Crossing, of course.
Yeah.
And Super Liminal.
Yes.
Did I say it?
Yeah, she said it right, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Super Liminal.
Super Liminal. It sounds like subliminal, but it's Super Liminal. And that is one of... It's a game of perspective, I think is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've talked about it, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was all on board with it when in fact, I saw one of the times I had to go to Seattle. I say I had to go to Seattle, whatever. One of the times I went to Seattle, there was a company that reached out to me. They've reached out to me before because they got my name from, hey, you're going to Seattle, blah, blah, blah. Would you please represent us to hand out, you know, awards and things like that for our team? Would you mind doing that?
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is we'll send you, and they sent me these little placards that say best of for blah, 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 whatever the company was. And I said, sure, I'll do that. They've done this before, and I think that I only did it one time for them. Mm-hmm. I never really felt like doing it at all.
Right.
But I was like, sure, why not? Here, go ahead. And I almost really forgot about it. But I did remember, and I was like, well, I got to give this to someone. It wasn't a situation where it was like, well, let me just find somebody to give it to. But it was a situation where I said, okay, let me find something I really, really like. and I'll just give it to them, whichever one it was. And I wanted it to be an indie game. I didn't want it to be, you know, Hitman 3 or 2 or whatever
just
it was that I was
name.
Playing or,
yeah.
or Destiny again or something like that.
Give
I wanted to
give an indie game some recognition.
Because that is the best part of PAX is the what's called the indie mega booth, mm-hmm. which is still very small compared to the indies, but that's where you get games like Superliminal and Spiritfarer was in there and
find some real hidden gems in
there.
You can
really, really find some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate the fact that I haven't been back to that. Not that it would have mattered in these past few years that they've held it because the indie mega booth hasn't been there. I'm sure some indies have been there, but the indie mega booth has not been a part of Penny. Well, they didn't hold a PAX last year. Last year being 2020, 2021, they did hold a PAX. There was no indie mega booth for 2021, I don't believe. But anyway, usually at PAX there are a ton of indies, not just in the indie section. Usually, the sixth floor of the convention center is almost nothing but your physical like. Card and board gaming
right
up at the top mm-hmm. along with a lot of indie stuff, indie board gaming and card, you know, indie tabletop gaming,
right?
And there's also indie video games as well up there, where, you know, it's a team of maybe 1 to 3 people, maybe 5 people or 6 who are working on a game. And so I tried to find and Superliminal was the one that I found that year, and I was just like, I really like what you're doing, here you go. You know, gave that, got a picture with him, and sent it off to the people. So, I was always excited about that game. How have you been doing with it? Well, I guess we should get the bugs out of the way first, huh?
Yeah, it's a little buggy. You know, I've had to, restart the game.
I know.
Several times.
She brought me in there a few times because she resumed playing and there was no audio. So we had to quit the game, go back in, and oh, there's the audio. You know, even if it was just ambient music or dialogue, even there was just nothing there when she was resuming. You had some other problem with it, right? Or no?
Well, that. But then, each time that I would go to start the game, I had to. It's like it wouldn't recognize that I started the game. It would give me the screen, and there's nothing for me to click on. The game didn't automatically, it was just a frozen screen.
It didn't pick up where you left off, or it just didn't move at all?
It didn't move at all.
Hmm. Yeah, it was, I didn't see that part. I did see the music part, and so that was buggy. So I don't doubt that she's going to stumble across other bugs as well. But how far have you gotten into that? I have no idea the layout or structure. It's on Game Pass, by the way. So if you have Game Pass on your Xbox system, you can download and play that. But
I don't know. Okay. I couldn't tell you. I mean, I know where I'm located in the building, mm-hmm. but it's getting harder.
Okay.
It's getting harder. But I'm not going to give up on it.
I might look into that. I still need to finish Pedestrian, which I haven't jumped into in a while. I haven't felt like messing around with my brain that much.
No, I know.
Because they keep getting more and more difficult, the puzzles in Pedestrian. I'm just like, I'll get to you. Luckily, the controls are simple enough that regardless of the break you take, you can easily get back into it. No problem.
Yeah.
Superliminal, and you picked up Katamari Damacy again.
Yeah.
Anything else? Didn't you buy a new game on the Switch? Oh, you played Toe Jam and Earl.
Oh yeah, Toe Jam and Earl. I saw that, and for some reason I bought it. I don't know why, but it was on sale. That's it. It was on sale.
Toe Jam and Earl goes way back.
Very much so.
Sega Genesis.
Sega
right?
Genesis days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Toe Jam and Earl, Panic on Funkatron, and I think they had a remake of something. Most recently, but yeah.
This is the one. The most recent remake. That's
the most
one
recent
she's
one,
playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that came out, well, I don't know when it came out for the Switch, but the remake came out 2016, I think? Mm-hmm. Or, I saw it at PAX of 2016, so probably got released 2017, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah.
The remake that I'm thinking of. And didn't you pick up something else?
I did.
Coffee Talk. No. Is it Coffee Talk?
It's Coffee Talk.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not the SNL skit, if that's what you're thinking of, with Mike Myers, which was called Coffee Talk. I'd forgotten about that until I said the name of it. Like, no, you're thinking of the SNL skit. It was probably called something else, right? No, it's called Coffee Talk. It's one of those, I don't want to call it a narrative game, because every game is usually a narrative game. It is a, it's not a novelization type game, but there's more reading involved, I think, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of reading.
2019, by the way.
2019 for
something called
Toe Jam?
Is that a Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove?
Yeah.
It says released in 2019 in March.
Really?
Yeah.
On the Switch, or did it?
Linux, Mac OS, Microsoft Windows, Nintendo Switch, PS4, Xbox One.
Goodness.
Human Nature Studios.
I wonder if it got delayed. Because I can remember at PAX 2016,
mm-hmm.
they had that game on display.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it had been released yet, unless that was some other version that they were showing off. And I'm thinking of something that was made afterwards. I don't know.
Yeah. Goodness, yeah. Toe Jam and Earl first came out Sega Genesis October of 1991.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going back a ways.
A sleeper hit, despite low initial sales. Protagonists were also used as mascots earlier. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Toe Jam and Earl. Let's see, Toe Jam and Earl, Pinnacle Funkatron, Toe Jam and Earl 3, Mission to Earth, and then Back in the Groove. I think that's it. Four titles, yeah.
Well, what's the name of the one you're playing? Is that Back in the Groove?
It is.
It has to be, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And have you even played that? I know you played the demo, and that's why you bought the game, but have you played any of it?
No. I opened it, and I realized that I probably shouldn't have
bought it.
Yeah.
I don't think Nintendo does refunds, but I could be wrong. Mm. I know that the Epic Game Store and Steam and even the Oculus Store, where I buy the VR games, those have return policies of you can return it if you have not played 2 hours worth,
mm-hmm.
or if it's been less than 14 days since you purchased it. If the criteria is within any of those, like if you play 5 hours of it and you're still within 14 days, you can't return it.
Yeah.
It's got to be under 2 hours and less than 14 days, and then you can return it.
Okay.
Yeah, Steam's refund policy is really good. I've not actually used it because I just rarely buy anything from Steam. I rarely buy anything that is not something I know I want. Very rarely do I look at something and think, well, I'll give that a try and give them my $15 and see how it goes. It's very, very rare that I do that. Like walking their dog outside.
I know. I saw a pupper.
Did not expect that. So, yeah. I've thought about what's bad is I bought a bunch of the VR stuff. And I have it because I do want to play it. I just haven't dipped in to play it yet. It's been way over 14 days, so regardless, those games are now mine.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Although most of that was bought credit with the stuff I got through Christmas, so I'm okay. I need to check on that, make sure my credit is still there. I think it is, but it better be. God, that's a lot of money. as far as what I played, you know, Destiny right now is just a situation where it's.
Just doing your dailies.
It's not even dailies now. I have this one playlist, I guess you could call it. It's the new one that they added. The Dares of Eternity is what it's called. And I have to rank up through that. I don't have to, but there's a ship at the end of the rank, and there's a catalyst for a weapon at the end of the rank. And the end of the rank is rank 16.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm at rank 11. And so I need to get up to that. I wasn't really too worried about it until I realized that, you know what, this whole thing's going to be here for the entire year. It's not going away anytime soon. So I could wait on it. Mm-hmm. The problem is that I know that on the 22nd, when Witch Queen launches, everybody's progress is going to get reset. Mm. So regardless of where I am in rank, it'll get knocked back down to zero. It's not going to carry over. Mm. So I might as well go ahead and get it done now so that I don't, because I won't have anything else to focus on. You know what I'm saying? Once Witch Queen launches, I'll have a ton of stuff to have to mess around with. Mm-hmm. So I might as well get the grind in on this, get it out of the way, so I don't have to worry about it next season.
You said you get a ship at the end of it?
Yes.
It's, have they done anything with the ships?
No.
Other than just cosmetic?
No. This is Zur's ship, you know, Spaghetti Face.
Yeah.
This is Zur's ship, and basically it's just a big rock. It's just a big rock.
A big rock that floats.
A big rock ship, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So.
Wow, imaginative.
I know, right?
Or lazy. Which one would you take?
Well,
one would you prefer?
I would say imaginative. I wouldn't say lazy. I would say that's imaginative, only for the fact that if you look at how many ships they have,
And how many are variations of the same ship?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they actually created something completely different and didn't just put a new paint job on something old that they had.
Yeah.
It's still a rock. It really is. It's still just a rock.
It's like someone went outside in a rock garden at the studio and just said, hey, just use this.
Yeah. Oh. But still, it's one of those things where when somebody else has it in your group, you're like, well, you did a whole lot of that, you know, playlist of that, you know, game mode, whatever, to get there.
Yeah.
And really, that's all I have to do on that. I have two Grandmasters that I need to run to fill out my card there. Mm-hmm. I'm not that worried about those. If I can do them, that's great. But I'm not too you know, big on finishing those. The other games that I've been playing were Hot Wheels Unleashed, which is a lot of fun. And
I still get vibes of a Revolt looking at
Man, that is one of the, and I've heard and I've seen this in other forums and stuff. Hot Wheels Unleashed has the hardest difficulty on an arcade racer for just the normal difficulty. You know, it's like easy, normal, hard.
Okay, difficulty in a racing game, that's just the speed of the other cars, right? The hard to get to first place. And
that or rubber banding.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a lot.
You catch up.
Yeah, you'll have a lot up. Of you'll have a lot of rubber banding in that, but really it's relentless. I know that I played. She was watching me play, and I was like, I'm moving this to easy, and I did. And you pretty much almost always stay in front on easy. Although I did do a, I did one of the Batman tracks that they had.
Yeah,
the very first one that you can once you get the DLC for that, and even on easy, that one was a little tough. The track was just all over the place. And so,
well, with any track in any racing game, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter if it's arcade or simulation. It's just knowing the track and picking the best possible line to go through it to get yourself a chance at even taking first place.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much. So it's basically familiarity.
Well, there's a. It's interesting because they have boss races that count as like this is a boss race. You have to beat this race to move forward. And there was one that I was doing. Wendy was watching me, where you're upside down on one of those magnetic tracks or whatever that holds you to the thing. So you're upside down and you do a jump, which basically, you know, if you're upside down and you do a jump, you go down.
Right.
You're going down towards the track, but you never flip. I couldn't figure out, you know what? Now I think I know how.
Is there a button you got to hit or something?
No. You actually, when your car is in the air, you have the ability to spin your car, but I don't know about flipping your, you know what I'm saying? Like if I do a regular jump, I can move my car to the left.
That's flipping
to the
and
right.
Rotating.
Right, exactly.
That's flipping and rotating, which one you want to do.
So I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I don't know. I'll have to play that again to see if there's a way that I can actually do that. But man, there was three laps of that. And every time I hit that jump, my car was put in a horrible position on the landing to where I'd have to reset the car to get it to go the right way. And yeah, so there was that. There's nothing buggy about the game. It's, I don't want to say it's bare bones. There's a ton there. There's a lot. There are track pieces that you get there because you can build your own tracks.
Mm-hmm.
There are pieces for a room because you have a, like, what's called the basement where, you know, where you can design your tracks and, mm-hmm. And also deck out your basement with a couch, with a computer desk, with posters on the wall, with different lighting, with different wallpaper, with all sorts of kind of stuff. Whereas when you build the track in that room with those pieces and your track comes out, you're driving around the room that you've already furnished yeah. and decorated and built and that sort of thing.
So you're driving, so you're driving around in a house and whatnot, right?
Yeah. But there's different places. So there's a construction. There's a construction place, like a building where they're where a building's being constructed.
Yeah, let me see. Let me see if there's like something like that. Because Revolt's like you race in a grocery store, grocery store, a bedroom, an observatory, like a garden, yeah. things like that. You know, so this outdoor one, locations, indoor locations, things like that.
Oh yeah, totally. So there's like a okay, there's yeah. a skate park that you race in.
Okay.
There's an office building that you race in. There's a kitchen or just a living room. There's a garage. Mm-hmm. There, you know, there's all kinds of different places that you race in.
Mm-hmm.
But the tracks are still the size of Hot Wheels tracks, and mm-hmm. the cars are too. So everything is gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
Got a very Micro Machines feel to it, but
yeah.
you know, a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Hot Wheels I played, and I've been going back through the Uncharted series. We finished off Uncharted 1, then we finished off Uncharted 2. We have yet to start Uncharted 3. That's coming fairly soon. Might pick that up tonight and start on that or tomorrow. And then we'll get to Uncharted 4, which Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy were re-released as the Legacy of Thieves edition yesterday for PlayStation 5. Again, we talked about this last episode. If you own a physical copy of either of the games, $10 will get you the upgraded version of both games. So it doesn't matter which one you have. If you have a Lost Legacy and you have the disc version, you'll get Uncharted 4 when you pay the $10 and Lost Legacy the upgrades. Same thing with Uncharted 4 if you only have those. If you have both, that's fine. $10, you get the upgrade. If you own them digitally and bought them digitally, then yes, that applies as well. If you got them digitally through PS Plus, that does not count, and you will not get the offer of the $10 upgrade thing. So just to put that into perspective. So, yeah, if your PS5 is digital now, you're out of luck. If you bought Uncharted or Lost Legacy disc version on your PS4, and now you have a digital-only PS5, you're out of luck. Because there's no way that you can make that work.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Although I want to say, right now, I think they're either having a sale, PlayStation sale, maybe?
Hmm.
Games under $10 or something like that. I can't remember what it is. Or games under $20. I don't know. You can find Lost Legacy or... unless they pulled them from the stores, and they may have. They may have pulled the individual releases from the stores. You may only be able to buy this version, which would suck. However, prior to that, you probably could have bought Lost Legacy Digital for like $9. And then... paid the $10 and gotten both. So, yeah. Really enjoyed playing the Uncharted again. I'm playing them on the easiest of easy modes, and yet still it's annoying.
What parts?
Any of the combat. And I'm not saying the combat was the weakest part of the game. That's for somebody else to decipher.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I played Uncharted, but I don't recall the combat being...
It's not.
...tedious or annoying to me.
The only reason it's annoying to me is because it takes me away from exploring or puzzle solving.
So it's lengthy battles that get you?
No, they're really not. I mean, they are if you start the game. It's just that I'm going back playing through these games.
Right.
And I put it on easy mode because I don't want to deal with worrying about.
Did you do the same for Last of Us 2?
I did after I took the long hiatus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I did about halfway through of Last of Us 2. I dropped it down to easy because I was tired of all the stealth and the sneaking and the moving so slowly through the thing. I was like, I'm not.
So basically, it's not the battle; it's the fact that it takes you away from story.
It takes me away from the story.
Basically anything that takes you from the story, because that's what you're playing Last of Us 2 for and Uncharted for.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm good with it. I like that. I played through the first game regular difficulty. I didn't jump out of that at all. But I think my problem was is that I got to this point and I was like, man, I'm so tired of conserving the ammo and the health and trying to just sneak around. I'm done. Yeah. I just want to get through this. Because I had taken so long, I think, to go through that.
Did you have the same issue with Mass Effect?
I don't know. I don't know what I picked. I think I did pick easy for Mass Effect.
I think you did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of these games, if I got Horizon 2 Forbidden West,
right.
I'm not going to put that on easy. I'll play that normally. You know what I'm saying? And usually when I go back through and do a replay, a lot of people might pick the harder difficulties. I'm like, no. I just want to go replay it to enjoy it. So let me knock it down to easy so I can just, get to the good parts quicker.
Yeah. I guess that's an interesting balancing act. If you're making a game for story, how long do you want to put the player out of the story to do side jobs or battles or things of that nature? Because there are plenty of games like that I played for story, but I didn't have battles that really took me too far out of it, really. Not that I can recall, really.
Combat in almost any game that has other aspects like puzzle solving, exploration, and also combat. We'll go with Uncharted. We'll just pick Uncharted as the example.
Yeah.
It is a way for developers... Well, I mean, they put that in there because there's going to be combat. You need to know how to shoot a gun because you're going to shoot a gun. You need to know how to throw grenades because you're going to have to throw grenades. So tutorial type stuff, yes, you're going to get through that. Mm-hmm. Once you've got those mechanics down, though, I think combat is thrown in to break up the pace of solving these puzzles and moving through this place without anything going on other than dialogue between two characters. Or moving through the monastery or something like that. It's giving you here's something to break up all of this moving around, trying to figure out how to get from one place or another, pulling switches, doing all this other stuff. Now we're going to throw some guys at you so you can shoot your guns for a while and kind of not have to think about things.
Right.
But at the same time, they also use it as a way to pad the game. Our game takes 20 hours to complete. Yeah, that's because you keep throwing wave after wave of combat every time we come into a combat section. Wave after wave of enemies come through so you can lengthen that part up,
Then there are games like that's a constant state of battle or suspense. Dead Space comes to mind. Dead Space, I don't think there's a lull except when you're talking or things like that. But outside of that, you are constantly looking over your shoulder and trying to be aware of everything going around because at any given moment, something will jump out at you if need be. So I'm thinking... a game like Dead Space, I don't think about anything taking me away from the story because I'm constantly in that alert mode.
Yeah, and they've got, and so I have the same complaints that I'm giving you now about Uncharted as I do about the homage that Uncharted is. Tomb Raider, I have the same problem. I like the environmental puzzles and the exploration more than I enjoy the combat. I hate the combat in games that offer that, my adventure-type games, my Indiana Jones-type games, I'm more into the puzzle-solving and the exploration than I am into the combat. Give me as little of that as possible so that I can get on to the next room that I have to figure out how to get out of. That's always been my thing. And I'm totally understanding why they do what they do, and I'm okay with it as well. It comes with the territory. It's just always going to be that way.
So,
that's my whole thing. There weren't a lot of puzzles or solving things going on in Last of Us 2. It was more of a survival.
Stealth and survival.
Yeah, really. But that game, that series, Last of Us 2, both, and I maybe even Uncharted 4, it's been forever. It's been since 2016 since I played that, because that's when it came out. In fact, I've never done a replay of any of the Uncharted games. This is my first time going through them since I played them when they released. And that would have been 2007 or 6 for Uncharted 1. And then 2009 for Uncharted 2. And then we're about to start 3, which came out in 2011. And then 4 came out in 2016. So, yeah, I'm going to go through those. Anyway, we are way behind. We need to take a break, and then we're going to come back and take this phone call, who I assume is Chris, but it may not be. I don't want to make an assumption, but I'm pretty sure. Goodness, I forgot to do something. and it's going to bug me until I get it done. So excuse me while I do that. I meant to go in there and do this, and I totally forgot to send over the music for this week's show.
Oops.
I know, right? Well, let's just go ahead and talk to Chris then while we got him. Hey, Chris. Oh, goodness. The phone is all kinds of messed up here. I wish we could... Can you take it yourself off a speaker? I don't know if it'll fix it. Keep going. You there? It is better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. I think it's... I don't want to say forever, but I think you're going to have a lot of time to... Yeah, I think you're going to have a lot of time. By the way, nobody heard that because I didn't have your phone thing pressed. Everybody on the radio heard that, but everybody on the stream did not. He asked that Chris said that he does have a physical copy of Uncharted 4, and he wanted to know how long that deal was going on for the $10 upgrade. I don't know how long it'll be around, but I think it'll be around for a pretty good while. It may not go anywhere at all. I haven't checked. You may want to do it.
I may go ahead and install it and just buy the upgrade and then keep it to the side until I feel like playing it, because I've been wanting to play through 4 for a long time, and I've had it eons, and maybe down the road that'd be something. Of course, don't have time. I got hooked on Dismantled as it is already. That Dismantled is fun as heck.
I don't know what that is.
It's an open world top down view where you can adjust the angle from almost completely vertical, or it's like Diablo series, like Diablo 2, Diablo 3 point of view.
Oh, okay.
And you get out of your shelter, and the world is in this zombie apocalypse where there's all zombies and creatures, and you have to go around the world and destroy objects. Everything in the game you can destroy.
You can destroy,
Yeah, and you use the resources that you get from that, destroy stuff that you know, like break down the stoves and stuff, or break down the walls of the buildings and stuff. And you use that to upgrade your gear, to make your gear and your weapons, like your crowbar or machete, or right now I've got a went completely blank here. But you know, you basically just use the materials you find to upgrade your other gear and other weapons and stuff. And I've been taking my sweet time destroying everything. I've already got to level like 43, and I've only explored about 40% of the map. And, I mean, it is huge. It is tons to do in this game, and it is so much fun.
Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. You're playing what? You're playing on the...
PlayStation 5.
The 5, yeah. That's what I thought. All right.
Well. And one of the cool things I found out, you can do multiplayer, local multiplayer, too. Basically, I think the game makes a clone of your main character where two people can play on the same screen at once. So if y'all want to check it out, that may be something y'all might enjoy.
All right. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
But I've kept my eye on it for a while, and I saw somebody else that was playing it several years ago while it was on Steam and Early Access and stuff, or beta, and I got hooked on it real quick. But I think the developer that makes it is 10 Tons.
I don't know that I've heard of them.
I think they're from overseas. I think they're overseas somewhere. But
I say I may not have ever heard of them. You probably list off some other games they've made, and I would know instantly what you're talking about. Maybe I don't.
I think this may be their first game.
Really?
Sure. But it is so much fun.
No, I've heard some good things about it. So I'm impressed if that's their first outing on this. So that's really really good. Well, Chris, I got my music back. I'm sorry about that. I got my music all set up and ready to go. But anything else you're playing? Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I've been playing other games, but until this came out, I've been hooked on this nonstop. So a lot of other things have been on the back burner since I've started playing this one.
All right, man. Well, you take care, and let us know how that goes next week if you pick up that $10 upgrade.
Was it coming out next week or something? No,
it's out now. I just
I'll probably go ahead and pop the disc in there and go ahead and...
Well, let me ask you, what do you have as far as a display? What are you looking at?
Oh, I've got a 4K display.
Okay.
That has HDMI 2.1. Yeah, I've upgraded to one to one, but it took me forever to find one, suckers. Yeah, as it, like everything else nowadays, but I was able to get a decent, I think it's a 18 or 24 inch, or maybe, I think it's a 24 inch, but it's big enough when it's like only a couple feet from me,
Okay.
So.
Yeah. When we come back, I'll because we need to take a break here, but when we come back, I'll go over what I've read is the optimal way to play the upgrade version, because there's three different modes of play. Display modes. There's three different modes for it, and I'll tell you what the consensus has been for all of those and the differences as well a little bit later on. So, but thanks for calling in, Chris. We appreciate it.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon.
You too. Take care, man.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I got to remember that everything has to be, buttons have to be pressed in order for it to hear the audio on that, so I apologize. I have the music now. This music comes from a game called Paparazzi.
Okay. And it sounds exactly like a sound, what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. You take pictures of pets, of dogs. This track is Mutt-tropolis.
I see a theme forming here.
Yeah. Mutt-tropolis Zoomies is what this is called.
Zoomies, okay.
Yeah, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Expeditions Rome. The main theme from that game, released pretty recently, I believe. Within the last couple of weeks, I believe. So just jumping back into that, the Uncharted upgrade that they did for Uncharted 4 and The Lost Legacy, there are three different modes of display, I guess you could say. There's the 4K mode, where originally this was released as a 1080p type thing, but then, of course, mm-hmm. it goes through a thing, gets upgraded 4K. But you get 30 frames per second on that, which is all you get, 30 frames per second.
Yeah.
The original game, or at least the original release back on PS4 for both titles, was 1080p, 30 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That was the highest you could get, and that was the frame rate that you were getting. Then they have the performance mode, which knocks it down to 1440p, but bumps it up to 60 frames a second.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty locked in at a 60 frames per second, you know, that frame rate of 60
right.
FPS.
Right.
That is considered the one that is good. If you look at the comparisons that they do, and it's very hard to see the comparisons on a video because of the way YouTube works their stuff. So they kind of slow down. They show it in 50% speed,
mm-hmm.
mainly because at 60 frames and then even the higher end, which is the 120 frames per second,
mm-hmm.
you can only really tell whenever they slow it down. The 4K version at 30, when the camera pans or moves, it's, you know, it's a stutter type of thing. It's very, you know, staticky
yeah.
type of movement. 60 moves better, and then 120 is just fluid. It just looks like it slowed it down, but it's still fluid and smooth, real smooth. And that's the third thing is performance plus. Mm-hmm. So it knocks it down again to 1080p, but it increases the frames per second up to 120. if your monitor is capable of displaying 120 FPS.
Yeah.
That's good to go with if you want to do that. The only difference is that can your monitor handle it? You may not have a monitor that can handle 120 frames per second.
Right.
Even if you do have one that can handle, if you do have one that does 120 frames per second, it may also not have the, oh God, they put them in new TVs. It is, and they have it, I think, in like G-Sync and stuff like that with some of the graphics cards where it'll, what is it? It'll kind of keep the, it'll hold it at 120 instead of having it kind of stutter or something like that. So it all depends. But the one that everybody seems to be, it's, the consensus seems to be run at 1440, 60 frames per second. Apparently 60 frames per second is just amazing to look at. Also, if you're running it at 120 frames per second, the adaptive triggers for the PlayStation 5, where you can, I'm not exactly sure because I haven't played it, so I'm not exactly sure what they're talking about. But because the screen is moving so fast, the timing on the trigger pull is off. It's not off enough that it's gonna be a problem in the game, but it may be something that just annoys you to no end while you're playing it.
Well, if it's off at all, yeah, you might want to go back to 16.
I want to say that they're probably going to update that at some point to fix that issue, but. Yeah,
I was thinking about something while you were talking about the hertz, I mean, frame rate and things like that. Was someone thinking about hertz, like refresh, 60, 120, things like that?
Same thing.
Yeah. Okay, that is the same thing.
Just if you've got a TV that says it does 60 hertz, then you're looking at a 60 frames per second. 120 hertz, you're looking at 120 frames per second.
I don't think my TV has that. That's something I was. I think that's something I need to really focus on and look at.
I can't remember. I need to go. You know what? I'm not sure if I want to say mine'll do it, but I don't know.
I know mine won't.
I need to go to... Yeah, I'm going to look this up for myself.
What's the highest hertz on TVs right now?
It goes above 120, I know.
Well above or not that much?
I want to say there was like a 200 and something.
240?
Maybe it was 240. I'm not sure.
Because it tends to double. 30, 60, 120.
I really haven't paid attention to anything that goes above. You know, I make sure it's got 60 when I was doing my shopping around.
Right.
But I don't know of anything that goes above, or I don't know that there's any point in going above 160. Mm-hmm. I mean, not 160, 120.
120, okay.
Yeah. I'm looking for the TV that I bought. Is there not a page two?
Yeah. Yeah, some of the TVs, they keep, every year and a half, some new tech comes out. I think I got my TV in like 2016? It's been a minute.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a white Westinghouse 1080p. It's been a minute since I got that thing. It was like 700 at the time I got it. And I think I look at it now, it's like nowhere near that.
Well, there it is. I found it, but I can't click on it to go look at the details.
Mm-hmm.
We're sorry. This page is currently unavailable. Hmm. All right. Well, whatever. I'll just look it up later on and see. Yeah. See, Lethal has a CX. Yeah, your CX does. I have an LG as well, and it's an OLED, but it is the C8. Mm-hmm. Let me look that up. LG C8 OLED.
Yeah, see, all these terms and whatnot they're spitting out. I got to do a lot of research getting my next television.
Yeah, I know. Dimensions, weight. Sorry, it's just bugging me now. Now I want to find out.
Can we look for again the hertz refresh rate?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at here.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have? Yeah. Ethernet, speaker, convenience, remote, general, dimensions. Wait, nope. It's giving me packaging. That's not my specs. Give me my overview then.
Isn't there a label on the back of your TV that tells you?
It could be.
Yeah, just do that when you yell.
I should.
Well, this is going to bug you.
It is. And now it's bugging me right now because I want to find the thing. I know this is a great television, or great. I know this is
great
just fun
radio
to watch.
You're missing
and fantastic radio.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. missing media already. Wait, dang.
But I just, and there's nothing here that's telling me. So I don't know. Anyway, I'll just have to look that up later. So,
as he keeps fooling with his trackpad over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no, I'm getting back to there. There's not much I can talk about because I only got 2 minutes for the top of the hour, so I might as well have just kept looking on that.
Entertain the masses with your TV search.
I think it does 120, but I, you know.
It probably does.
It probably does. If his CX does 120.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It probably does. We'll see.
Update next week.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It'll be update after the break because I'm going to really look at this thing and find out what the hertz is on that thing. Let me see if I can find something real quick to talk about that is of any value. Steam Deck launches on February 25th and will start shipping 3 days later. I know Matt has an order in. I don't know when his order was scheduled to ship, like when he was going to be getting his. Even though we know he's not going to be around for a while to play it or to mess around with it. But I know that he got in on that. I'm in on it as well, but I won't get it until like quarter three of this year. So there's, you know, I got plenty of time to let people guinea pig it and then find out if I need to hold off or it's like, no, you can go. Probably should just hold off, to be honest with you. Because they're going to make a second one. And it'll probably fix a lot of the things that the first one has wrong with it. Probably be a lot lighter or thinner. I don't know, but come with more memory or something. Who knows? So, but yeah, that's and they have Cloud Sync now. So they're doing some sort of thing where your games will save immediately to the cloud, so that when you stop playing on the Steam Deck, you can go straight to your computer and play and pick up exactly where you left off. That's kind of like what they want to do, make it a seamless interaction between how you play and where you play.
Right.
So you log into your Steam account, go right in. It picks up as though you're still playing on the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We are here at the top of the hour. When we come back, I don't know if that we'll get to the NFT stuff, which is fine. It has to do with Ubisoft. Although there was something else that happened just recently, and it concerns Minecraft. So we'll get into that here maybe when we come back. We also have plenty of other things to talk about. There is everything that's happened since Microsoft bought Activision. There's that. Microsoft's gaming revenue was up last year, or at least in the second quarter here. We'll talk about Respawn and their new Star Wars games. Also, I don't know, just a ton of stuff here that I've got. Crysis 4 announced. Hitman 3 had some problems on its release. We'll get into all that stuff. It's all coming up on In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called War Tales. It's the main menu music, and so we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back to In-Game Chat. Music here called, well, it's the credits that roll at the end of Superliminal.
Nice.
Wow.
It sounds like one of them songs that you put on that this YouTube channel that has features music that you study to, music that you relax
lo-fi,
to.
Lo-fi beats, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Little girl with a cat.
Yeah, that one.
At her book in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, welcome back to Endgame Chat. So Chris called during the break. Well, he's got fiber internet at home. He was already halfway done downloading the upgrade to the Uncharted game. By the way, when you do this, and he said, yeah, you put the disc in. He went and he bought it, and it already started downloading the PS5 version. You will have to have the disc in the machine every time you want to play the game, which, you know, is not really different from anything that we're already doing. But it's not only downloading Uncharted, it's putting Lost Legacy as well, the other game, on there. So for $10, it'll give you, if you only have one of those games, for $10, it'll give you both of those games as an upgrade. If you already own them physically or own them digitally that you didn't get through, like, PlayStation Plus promotion type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And he checked. His television set is HDMI 2.1. That's perfectly fine for doing 120 hertz if he wants to do that. I checked on the TV that we have, 120 hertz as well. It does have 120 refresh rate. Apparently, it says it comes with True Motion, which is weird because I didn't think it did, because it is not HDMI 2.1 at all. It missed that cutoff. Mm-hmm. Just right at the year. Well, actually, it was 2 years before.
That's what's current one now, right?
The current one is 2.1.
2.1,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking USB. USB is 3.7.
No, USB is up to 3. It might as well. USB is like what? USB-C now, I guess, is really. No. I don't know.
And also, I was also looking at the PlayStation store for what he was talking about with Uncharted 4. Yeah, I mean, it's like you search Uncharted on the PlayStation store, you get Uncharted. You get a bundle, and you get the Legacy of Thieves collection, and then you get like in-game currency. There's no four by itself or whatever. So yeah,
he did say yeah.
Yeah,
he said they pulled them.
Yeah, they pulled it.
They pulled the individual titles, so you can only get the Lost Legacy version now.
Like I said,
or not Lost Legacy, but Legacy of whatever.
Four
and
Lost Legacy
titles.
But yeah, not like I said the last time I found those two. I just bought those two on a lark because it was like $20 or something. And I just picked them both up on disc for PS4. So yeah.
So yeah, I checked on mine. We're good there. Not that I'll do that or get to that. Whenever I get around to it, yeah, I'll throw them the $10 to get the upgrade.
Yeah.
And probably do the 1440 at 60 frames per second. I may take a look at the 4K, but a lot of people said, you're not really getting much out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the upgrade is not, it's nice that you have it, but.
Was it worth the cost?
Compared to the 60 frames per second that you get with just the little drop down, it's so. Apparently, the 60 frames per second is just like a brand new game.
And there's no lack of precision with your L2 R2 on
the
highest one. Yeah, so yeah.
That's true. So, the games for gold that we're getting for February for you Xbox players, we have Broken Sword 5. Aerial Knights Never Yield, Hydrophobia as well, and then something called Band of Bugs. So those are your games with gold.
Sounds familiar. Hydrophobia sounds familiar.
Hydrophobia, I do remember that. It was apparently the water effects in that game were supposed to be revolutionary or groundbreaking or something. I can't remember.
Supposed to be?
Yeah.
So you say like a... They tried it, and they...
Well, maybe at the time it released, it did, but we've come a long way since that released.
Yeah.
So I think water effects have gotten better over time there.
From 2011?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, 2010. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Hydrophobia? Yeah.
Yeah, 2010.
It was released, I want to say, as an Xbox Arcade?
Xbox Live Arcade in 2010, and then Microsoft Windows in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got on a PlayStation Network on... In 2011, November, later up, months afterwards, Survival Horror and Adventure.
And your PlayStation Plus games for February are UFC 4, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep.
Yeah, but I haven't been into Borderlands since 2.
And if you have a PlayStation 5, you'll also get Planet Coaster Console Edition, where you can build a theme park. With roller coasters and stuff. The PC version of that, and I'm curious as to how the console edition works.
I'll probably put UFC, put it in the library.
UFC 4, yeah.
Yeah, UFC 4.
I mean, I put them all. I always put them in the library there. Same thing with Epic Game Store whenever they give a free game.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime Steam, if I hear about a game that's free on Steam, Even if I have no intention of probably ever playing it, I will still click on it just to add it to my library because it's a free game. Why not?
Yeah, this is the reason. This is the reason why I look at my library and like, I'm like, when did I buy this? No, you didn't.
Yeah,
it was free. You just threw it in your library. You just forgot about it. Same with my Steam library.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, it's like I think I got 35 or 40 games in there, and like half of them, like, where did this come from? I don't recall buying this yet because you didn't.
Yeah. Oh, so let's go. Well, we were talking about Microsoft having a great year. Their gaming revenues are up 8% in the second quarter. It brought in, the Series X and S brought in more money for Microsoft last quarter than in the system's 2020 holiday launch window. The company had hardware revenues up 4% year over year on demand for its latest consoles, which is interesting because it's been tough to get some of these consoles lately. Although I think it's been harder to get a PlayStation 5 than it is a Series X. Series S, by the way, has been not one of those that is hard to get.
That's one digital only?
It is the digital only. It is also not 4K either. Yeah.
So two reasons why it's readily available.
Yeah, it used to be hard to find as well.
Mm-hmm.
But now those are not as hard to find, I should say. I can't tell you that you can walk in a store and pick up an Xbox Series S. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten better for that particular console.
Yeah, because it seems like the lowest tiered option for purchasing if you want the Xbox S.
Yeah, revenues were up 20%, $51.7 billion, with a net income up 21%, $18.8 billion as well. Then they go into the Windows stuff. I mean, it's Microsoft. You know, the gaming revenues were up 8%. Xbox content and services revenue, 10% year over year. There were some statistics on Epic, I think, as well. Yeah, here we go. The Epic Game Store. And there, every time when we run into another year, like, you know, January, you start getting your numbers for last year from all the
right.
Anybody that wants to release it. Usually the only people that want to release it are the ones that had really great years. Otherwise, you don't hear from anybody else, or it's just not their thing. Epic Games said that the 21-year in review report for that said consumer spending was at $840 million last year. That is an increase of 20% year over year for the digital storefront as far as Epic Games is concerned. Third-party titles made up 36% of their sales last year and amassed more than $300 million in revenue. They also grew in users. They saw an increase of 34 million PC users through 2021. They now have a total of 194 million users. They peaked at 31.3 million active users daily, while the concurrent users went to 13.2 million as well. So, and they've given away, I don't know how many games they've given away on the store, so a bunch there. I don't have any details on Steam, although I know that they probably have some details on that, but I don't have any details for you on Steam. And let's talk about everything that has happened since Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard. When will the deal be done? The deal will be done next year. Yes, those games will come to Game Pass. Will Activision Blizzard games be Xbox and PC exclusive? Microsoft says it'll honor existing Sony contracts and won't make Call of Duty exclusive right away, but it's likely that some of Activision Blizzard's future games won't come to PlayStation. There's precedent, of course. After they bought Bethesda, we learned that Starfield and The Elder Scrolls 6 will be an Xbox and PC exclusive. How many PC game developers does Microsoft own now? A lot. There's a list. Is this good or bad? Let's see. It talks about the industry reacting to it. Bobby Kotick will eventually leave, or will probably leave Activision Blizzard once this deal is completely over with. And yeah, Phil did a tweet on the 20th there, said, had good calls this week with leaders at Sony. I confirmed our intent to honor all existing agreements upon acquisition of Activision Blizzard and our desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. Sony is an important part of our industry, and we value our relationship. If anybody wants to save that tweet for years down the line, go ahead, because I'm sure that is going to eventually stop. I don't know why, but I feel like it will. I just feel like it will. Yeah, like Lethal Migraine says, this year's Call of Duty, next year's Call of Duty will be on PlayStation and Xbox, but after that, likely to be Xbox only. The free-to-play Warzone, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right. The free-to-play version, where they're not making money off of that at all, sure, it'll stay on PlayStation. Or they may kill it all together. I don't know how that game has been doing. I'm not sure if I wanted to call it a mode or a game or whatever. It kind of sits by itself. But, yeah, I don't know how that game's been doing for them. So it may hang around for a while, but I think it'll eventually go away. Warzone. Again, that's me speaking from no experience whatsoever, because I've not played that, and I also haven't paid attention to any of it. Okay, Lethal Migraine says it's actually apparently massive, Warzone is. So, all right, that's good. Crytek confirmed we're going to get a Crysis 4. Yay. I didn't play Crysis 1 through 3. Mainly because I didn't have a thing that could run.
Yeah, the computer eater itself.
That was the joke, right?
Yeah.
Can it run Crysis?
Right? NASA can. NASA can run it, but you can't.
Yes, but yeah. Can it run Crysis?
Yeah.
So Ubisoft is kind of making a name for themselves over this NFT thing. This is from a Kotaku article here written by Luke Plunkett, who says that Ubisoft's official foray into the world of NFTs has not had the best start. The announcement was trashed by fans, and the company's garbage NFTs were largely ignored upon release. In a new interview with an Australian site, Ubisoft says the blame lies on everybody but them, you know? And in fact, that's what
typical modern day response.
Yeah, they use the Principal Skinner meme.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not out of touch. It's the children that you know, that sort of thing. And exactly, they think that they're not in the wrong. It's everybody else. They say it's an extraordinary interview to behold from top to bottom. It begins, for example, with. And this is quoting the article. On December 7th, 2021, Ubisoft became the first big-name game developer to publicly enter the NFT space. The launch of the Ubisoft Digits, an NFT, and the Quartz platform did not go down well. Gamer feedback was negative to the point of being aggressive, as gamers are wont to do, it says. The big names in game press were also tepid in their analysis. One way or the other, this was a landmark moment in gaming, but the media clearly didn't want to gain the ire of their readers. That's interesting. By the time we're on to, in fact, I was excited by the launch of Quartz and Digits. You can probably see where this is going. The whole thing is a softball chance for the VP at Ubisoft Strategic Innovations Lab and their blockchain technical director to clear the air and make a sales pitch for the much-derided Quartz campaign. So basically, it was almost an article or an interview where, look, I'm not saying that Ubisoft did this, but it's, in essence, they paid them and said, we want you to interview us. Here's the questions we want you to ask. And here's the statements we want you to make. In other words, praise this, put us in light, and we're going to also tell you why this is great and why everybody else is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Paid advertisement.
You know, we're talking about Uncharted and everything and Last of Us, that sort of thing. Troy Baker, that voice actor who's in just a ton of games,
mm-hmm.
He recently caught under fire. This was at the same time it happened the week previous to Microsoft buying Activision.
Okay.
Like on a Friday he started doing this, and he was just getting steamrolled by like, you should not be doing this. This is nothing. You're scamming people out of money, and you don't understand what you're getting into. There was a whole there. He got a whole bunch of
blowback.
Yeah, from a lot of people, and he tried to kind of wave it off, but his result in waving it off only fueled the fire.
Made it worse. Yeah.
Yeah, it got really bad for him. Not that it's going to get bad for him where he can't get some kind of work or something like that. It'll be fine, but. It did not go down well. In fact, most of this NFT stuff doesn't go down well, from what I understand, with a lot of people. Instead of appealing to its users, they decided to tell the users that we're all wrong. Here's a quote. I think gamers don't get what a digital secondary market can bring to them. For now, because of the current situation and context of NFTs, gamers really believe it's first destroying the planet and second just a tool for speculation. But what we at Ubisoft are seeing first is the end game. The end game is about giving players the opportunity to resell their items once they're finished with them or they're finished playing the game itself. No. This is, by the way, for research purposes, this is the first time I've read this, so you know where I'm coming from. I have not actually read this article. I just heard that Ubisoft got a whole bunch of blowback from it, and now I'm seeing why. Continuing with quoting this article, so it's really for them. It's really beneficial, but they don't get it for now. Also, this is part of a paradigm shift in gaming. Moving from one economic system to another is not easy to handle. There's a lot of habits you need to go against and a lot of your ingrained mindset you have to shift. It takes time. We know that. Back to this Kotaku article that says, we absolutely get it, Nicholas, and we want nothing to do with it. It's telling that this is a sales pitch coming from someone in the crypto space since it has some dangerous and soulless hallmarks. Hucksters who want to turn everything into a market to transform even your leisure time into something that can and by divine right should be commoditized. Of course he wants Ubisoft to push ahead with this, and giving the players the opportunity to resell their items is the key sentence there. A big driver of money for them in this space won't just be sales of NFT items, but the cut that they get every time an item is sold and resold again. Endless money for doing literally nothing. Yeah, see, Lethal Mind, in what world is there resale value in NFTs? Ubisoft sucks. A lot of companies, big video game publishers included, have been dipping their toes into this market over the last 12 months for just this reason. As stupid as it is, it's also usually explained away by it being a fad that involves making a quick buck out of suckers. And really, what public company wouldn't want in on that action? Ubisoft's efforts are on a whole other level, though. There's a degree of diluted commitment to the cause we simply haven't seen from other publishers. And whenever I hear about developers predicting NFTs will drive a wedge right in the heart of this industry, it's places like Ubisoft, where management and workers are so far apart in the issue, that I think of first. Yeah, no, he's exactly right. So that was Ubisoft. Now there was a Minecraft story that I had opened up about NFTs again. Look, if you're thinking about getting into NFTs, do as much research as you want. Nobody should be here to tell you how to spend the money that you make. But NFTs are a bad idea for you, I would say. I mean, if you've got the money to burn and you want to do that, go right ahead. There's that dude who bought $70 million. He spent $70 million on an NFT. Beeple or whatever it was. I don't know. But he had... This is a guy who spending $70 million was not... gonna hurt him in any way.
Yeah, he had disposable income.
Massive disposable income.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah. So, when you see celebrities hawking these things or saying, look, I bought an NFT, you can buy your NFTs too or go over here. Remember that they're celebrities. Either number one, they had the money to burn on this and not worry about it. Or number two, and likely the case, they're getting paid
compensated to tell you this, yeah.
Remember that, please. Oh, so going into this Minecraft thing, and again, was this Luke on this one? No, this is somebody else. This, again, from Kotaku. So stop me if you've heard this one before. An NFT project sells a ton of tokens, NFTs, making a ton of cash in the process for a thing that probably will exist in the future. Then the people and then everybody involved disappear with the money, leaving those who bought it just, yeah, you're screwed.
High and dry.
Yeah. It reportedly happened again, this time with what's called Blockverse, an NFT project connected unofficially to Minecraft. This was PC Gamer that reported it. Blockverse launched last week and is claimed to be an on-chain Ethereum NFT that enables a unique P2E on Minecraft. It basically boils down to a private Minecraft server that is only open to folks with a Blockverse NFT. Even though selling access to servers is a thing that has been done for years without NFTs, there was still a lot of hype around the project. On January 23rd, Blockverse launched and sold around 10,000 NFTs. It sold out within 10 minutes and earned an estimated $1.2 million. However, a few days after making all that money, the creators behind the project deleted Blockverse's website, shut down the game server and the official Discord. They took the money and ran.
Literally.
Yeah. Which is what we watched this, we watched an explanation on NFTs last night and said, yeah, you own the digital rights of whatever that thing is. As long as that stays where it's at. If the server that hosts the thing you bought shuts down, closes, dies, goes offline,
you have
nothing.
You got nothing, yeah.
You have absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what the Blockverse did. But it seems like this wasn't something where, we ran into a problem. No, they just turned everything. We got it. We sold everything. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
We sold it. We're leaving. Goodbye.
Thanks for your cash.
As you might expect, this led to a lot of people calling the whole thing a scam and demanding answers after a few days of silence from the creators and those in the community. And as those in the community tracked down information about the project leads, Blockverse headed to Twitter and provided an update on the situation with the dev sharing an explanation and apology. Here it is, word for word. Hey, all, we feel that we owe everyone an apology and, more importantly, an explanation. Blockverse was supposed to be a great project, as before our launch, we invested an enormous amount of time and resources working on it. Everything was fully legitimate. Our contract was verified. The game infrastructure was completely set up. Our launch went well. With some small bumps along the road. After the launch, we went straight to work continuing development on Phase 2, a future expansion of Blockverse. In the midst of our continued development, we failed to realize and contain all the stuff that was going on through a multitude of issues, including but not limited to gas fees being high, Minecraft server not being able to hold everyone at once, and the lack of utility of... I don't know what that is. Eventually, things got spiraling out of control. The Blockverse team then explained that as anger grew in the community and people began asking more questions, stuff about when problems with the server would be fixed, why fees were so high, the team panicked. As reported, harassment, threats, doxing as well continued. It was decided the best course of action was to delete it all and just disappear into the night with over $1 million. Unfortunately, there has not been a chance to open back up yet because it seems the situation has only worsened, said one blockchain team in its long, rambling statement. While we have delivered everything already promised, we understand why people may be displeased with everything that has happened, and we feel the obligation to keep our fully functional game online. According to their team, the supposed plan was that once everyone had time to calm down, they would return. Which many in the community doubted, hence why PC Gamer reports that so many of them started a separate Discord server and began trying to track down the folks behind the project in an attempt to figure out a solution. One person that from that separate server spoke to PC Gamer, explaining that folks who bought into that have a bit of a paper trail on the devs behind the project, including a Coinbase address and more. They thought they got away, said the user, and now they know we have that trail that they left. Oh, boy. Yeah. Just stay out of NFTs. You spend your money how you want to spend your money. I'm not saying NFTs are a bad idea. It's just, according to everything, it ain't a world I want to dip my toe into. It seems like there's no profit to be made. It does feel scammish, you know? A little bit of a, like I said, taking money from suckers, really. So, anyway, we're going to take a break. Now that we got the NFTs out of the situation, we'll come back and we'll hit more news here on In-Game Chat. Music here from Rainbow Six Extraction, which just recently came out not too long ago. This is the New York theme of the game. We'll be right back with more after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from a game called Strange Horticulture.
Okay. What, strange plants?
You raise, yeah, you tend to these, I don't know.
Alien plants?
Yeah, not necessarily alien, more Lovecraftian or you know, or just, yeah.
Oh, the Cthulhu flower.
Eh, something. Yeah. I don't know. This is the prologue music, and it's also in-game. You may hear clicks of the menu or something like that, but it's, I think it's in early access. I don't think it's come out, but I think it's in early access on Steam. But somebody came up with, I want a game like Strange Horticulture, but I want it in a library, like strange books. I don't know. Something like that. I'm really curious about it. I put it on my wish list on Steam because I'm interested in it.
Well, these plants look normal to me.
Or do they? I don't know.
I'm looking at the imagery of the thing, and it's like, man, it's like normal plants to me.
I don't know much more about it, to be honest with you, other than you tend to plants. So that's what you do.
Running an Eldritch plant shop.
Okay. An Eldritch plant shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Then that's exactly what I was talking about. It's Lovecraftian, in a sense. Something I forgot about when I was going over all the free games and stuff like that. Amazon announced their Prime games for February. I'm trying to go over Stellaris will be one of those. Ashwalkers is one. As Far as the Eye, which is a city builder. Double Kick Heroes, and a football game called Golazo Soccer League. So, yeah. That's if you have Amazon Prime, then that's what you get for Amazon Prime gaming. So, what else is going on? We did the PlayStation Plus games. Blizzard announced a new game that... was another of these, like, I'm probably never going to play you. Let me read their words. Blizzard is embarking on our next quest. We are going on a journey to a whole new universe, home to a brand new survival game for PC and console. A place full of heroes we have yet to meet, stories yet to be told, and adventures yet to be lived. A vast realm of possibility waiting to be explored. Survival game is not something I... have any desire to play. That's another hit, or it's another miss.
Not survival horror, survival.
Just survival game, you know? That's all it is, just a survival game. Which reminds me of, like, whatever Obsidian was doing, which is Grounded, where everybody's really small. That's a survival game. Not a battle royale type of game, just a, you know... here you go, survive in this game type thing. See how long you can survive, I guess. I played a little bit of StarCraft, not much, or StarCraft 2, I think. World of Warcraft, I tried to get into, didn't work for me. Diablo, I played Diablo 3 a lot, but that was only with, like, James and Jeremy and Matt and them.
Yeah, with friends and everything.
Yeah, and then once that sort of thing kind of died off for them, it died off for me, and I never went back. Even after they did the overhaul of the economy system in that game, I still didn't go back. And then Overwatch, which is another game that I tried out, but it's a Team Fortress.
It's Team Fortress, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not my thing. It's not my thing. So this is yet another game that Blizzard is adding to its portfolio here that is probably something else I will never play. Survival games, just not my thing. They have two pieces of artwork that were accompanied with the announcement. Kind of give you, I guess, maybe give you an idea. There's no release date, no release platforms, but apparently it is well into development. It'll be Blizzard's first new original property since the launch of Overwatch in 2016. It's also Blizzard's first foray into the survival genre game popularized by games like Minecraft, DayZ, Don't Starve, and Rust. Blizzard's surprise announcement of an all-new game and an all-new property comes shortly after Microsoft bought them. Or at least announce the plans to buy them. They have other projects in the works. Diablo 4, Diablo Immortal. Is that the cell phone thing? Is that the one they took a lot of flack from? Like, everybody's got a cell phone.
Is and that then, the one where the dude said, is this an April Fool's joke?
I don't know. Could have been.
Let's see. Diablo Immortal is an upcoming free-to-play video game in the Diablo series designed for mobile devices.
Yep, yep, exactly. And then they're also working on Overwatch 2. But only one of those is expected this year, that being the phone, the mobile device, Diablo. So, yeah. Just another game in the list of theirs that I probably won't play. I don't know if that's interesting. I don't know. I guess there were people who perked up when they saw that and said, hey, that's great, but I just not a thing for me. Mm-hmm. So, what else? That's right. We're getting new Star Wars games, which Matt would be happy with, and I guess I would be happy with if it weren't for the fact that Respawn is making them, which is fine. Respawn did a great job with Jedi Fallen Order, that release. They did great with that. And so to give them three more games to work on, I understand. But what that really means is that there is no chance in the near future of us getting another Titanfall.
Yeah.
Titanfall 1 was great. Loved the multiplayer. Enjoyed that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Titanfall 2 I didn't get into until way late. The multiplayer, not so much fun, but the single player, that story was apparently really, really good. And from the little bit that I played of the story, I was really enjoying it. I don't know why I stopped, but I was really, really enjoying what they were doing with that second story. It had a nice little back and forth timeline thing going on where you're playing it in the past and now you're playing it in the future. And yeah, and mm-hmm. it helped to solve puzzles and all this other stuff. It was really, really cool. And I hate that it, I hate that we're not going to get a third one from them. Mm-hmm. They said that they're not done with the franchise. But now you're saying that you're going to work on three more games. Yeah. Plus, you have Apex Legends that you're also working on. You know?
Yeah.
And Apex Legends is the games as a service thing. I mean, that's an ongoing title.
That's their Fortnite, so yeah.
Yeah. The game director previously oversaw development of God of War 3 for Sony and Jedi Fallen Order at Respawn is working on the next game in Respawn's Star Wars Jedi series. An all-new, untitled, first-person shooter game based on Star Wars is being overseen by a game director whose credits include the original Battlefront games and The Force Unleashed. We don't have any titles on this. The third game is a strategy title being co-developed by Studio Bitreactor from developers of XCOM 2 and XCOM Enemy Unknown. Vince Zampanella will oversee the new phase of EA's relationship with Lucasfilm Games. He's the founder of Respawn. Release dates and platforms for the new Star Wars games were not available at the time of press. It'll be on all the platforms. Mm-hmm. It's EA. You know, they'll do all of that stuff. But really what it tells me is that there's no way they're going to get around to Titanfall 3.
It's been kicked to the back burner for an indefinite amount of time now.
Yeah, see, that's one of the comments here. I've made peace with the fact that in all likelihood there will never be a Titanfall 3, but if Respawn can channel some of that energy into this new Star Wars FPS, I am all ears or eyes, whatever. Yeah, there's a lot of people. Titanfall is dead. No more Titanfall. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Although I guess maybe if people had played Titanfall 2, we might have got... That sounds like I'm throwing the blame on the players, but there's a reason they didn't, I would think that there's a reason they moved away from that universe. Sure. Although I can say this, they moved away from that universe with Apex Legends to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
When they announced Apex Legends, we're just like, oh, okay, a little side project they worked on. They finally got it done. That's great. It's going to be out there. Probably going to work on something else. Then, oh, here's a Star Wars game that they're working on. Okay, well, they'll get that out of the way. Maybe we'll get something else. Nope, another Star Wars game. Apex got massive, by the way, huge, and so they had to focus their time on that. It's just, yeah, it's unlikely that you'll ever see another Titanfall 3, unless EA takes the property and gives it to one of their other studios. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't. They should just let Respawn do it, but they'll probably just...
They're busy right now.
Yeah, I know. They'll probably just give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
What you're saying is Microsoft needs to buy EA so we can get some good games out of EA. Yeah, I don't know what the next move is going to be as far as what they'll buy. Will they buy? Will it be something like that? No. They'll buy some more studios. It'll likely be some small studios, stuff like that. It won't be, you know, they're not going to buy Capcom or EA, Ubisoft. They're not going to buy any of those. Of course, 3 weeks ago, if this had come around, I'd say, yeah, they're not going to buy Activision. Nobody's going to touch that company with everything that's going on right now. Nobody wants to touch that company with all the problems that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seems like somebody does, actually. Yeah. Want to have that company. So I don't know. I'm saying that, you know what? That was, you know what? The first Titanfall was an Xbox exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox and PC exclusive, or may have just been Xbox exclusive. And then Titanfall 2 was a multi-platform release. But they did have exclusivity on Xbox with the first Titanfall. I do remember that.
Windows, Xbox One, Xbox 360.
Yeah.
In March 2014.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Yeah, and I know Lethal Migrant says Microsoft has a boatload of cash to spend. They have to put it somewhere. Yeah, they will, but they'll do it by buying other smaller studios. They can't purchase anything until this thing goes through with the Activision Blizzard situation. At least they can't purchase anything that big.
Yeah.
With what they're doing. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think we'll see them acquire any more studios until after this Activision Blizzard thing goes through. They probably have some deals in the making and some talks being worked around to what they're going to be doing next, but I think it'll come after this purchase has been approved and they go through with it. So, what else? Yeah, there's this little thing here about The Rock saying that he's going to be in another movie about a video game.
How did Rampage do?
I was about to say. he says that he's going to be in another game, or he says he's going to be in another movie based on one of the biggest, most badass games there ever was, and that they're going to do it justice by the fans. But he can't tell us what game he's doing. But at the same time, you did Rampage. That is not one of the biggest, baddest games ever released. It was a nice little classic. Yes,
it's a fun classic game,
and it's not one you thought they would have turned into a movie at all.
Yeah,
the movie, by the way, not very good.
No.
Yeah, but we have no idea. He was also in Doom, way back in 2005.
Let's see.
That didn't work out very well either, even though it was probably still better than Max Payne.
Well, profited, I guess.
Oh no, yeah.
The budget for Rampage was 120 to 140 million. The box office for that movie was 428 million. Mm-hmm. So you profited.
Oh no, easily.
Yeah, you're good, but good film though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess it would be good if you've never played Rampage before. I think that's typically the case with video game movies. If you've never played the source that it's based on, you probably think it's a good movie. I think a coworker of mine watched Max Payne, Mark Wahlberg.
Without playing the game whatsoever?
She wasn't a video gamer. She never played the game or even heard about it. She just saw a movie called Max Payne with Mark Wahlberg, and she just looked at it and had a good time with it. But if you played Max Payne and you saw the variations of from the game and the movie, you're like, meh.
No, it wasn't great based on the game. Having played the game, the game story is better than what that was. And of course, the whole game was just a way to show off the whole bullet time and video game type thing.
Because
we'd seen that in Matrix, and it was like, okay, we'll do it this way, and we'll put it in a video game. And they nailed it. They did a fantastic job with it. And that just became its signature.
Yeah, which is weird because how many action films have been doing slow motion? How many years?
I know, right?
Forever in a decade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so to translate that into film was like, well, we've already seen that.
Mm-hmm.
You've already done this. You're bringing, but the story in the game is actually really, really good. It is kind of noirish, but it was, I really, really enjoyed the story. I don't know about two. It's been a long time since I played two, and I never finished three. Three was weird. Three was such a...
I finished that one, yeah.
Three or two? Both.
Both, yeah. Actually, both, yeah. I did, I think Max Payne is one of those games that, like, got me into playing on the PC again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially number two.
I built a PC so that I could play Max Payne.
Yeah, and then three.
Because it was not a console game.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I have to play this. Because I saw the mod that you could do, which put, like, Matrix stuff inside the inside the game.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it did all these other little tricks and stuff. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to build a PC just so I can play that game and then mod it so I can play all these little things, and which is exactly what I did.
Yeah.
But
two I finished on PC, and three I did play on...
console?
PS3, yeah.
Yeah.
Still got it, actually. I think the last thing I played on my PS3 was Max Payne 3. Yeah, it was deviation from 1 and 2 a little bit. I mean, he just got worse and down in the dumps more.
Mm-hmm.
And 3, he really went down.
I mean, it stuck, 3 stuck with the themes of 1, at least.
Mm-hmm.
2, again, my memory's hazy on 2 as far as what the storyline was with that. I know it involved...
Back with the cops... partnering up with
what's
Mona.
Her name? Mona. That's
Mona
who it
Sachs.
Was. Yeah.
And then having to deal with the fallout from the order with Alfred Woden and the cult.
Man, listen to you throwing these things out here that I've totally forgotten.
Yeah.
Over the time.
And basically dealing with backstabbing and betrayal, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wahlberg, by the way, he's going to be in that Uncharted movie.
Yeah, Sully, right?
Yeah, I know. It's a weird it's a weird casting choice. All of that is a weird casting choice, by the way.
Yeah.
I felt like they had it
too cute for
right.
Too cute to be Nathan Drake.
I felt like they had it right with that little fan film that was done by that one guy with Nathan Fillion, and then the dude who played Sully was a great pick for the Sully character. Mm-hmm. It's the guy who played the general. I guess it was the general, the captain, the whatever, the big military bad guy in Avatar.
I know you're talking about. I can't think of the name. Yeah.
He also played in that horror movie about the blind guy.
Don't breathe. Don't move. Don't something. Yeah.
I can't remember. He's a blind dude, old blind dude, and people go into his house and he goes around and kills them.
Stephen Lang.
Yeah, they think he can't see, but I guess all of his other senses, I don't know, Daredevil. All of his other senses are heightened or something.
I mean, is that the guy Stephen Lang?
I believe that's him.
Yeah, I believe that's him.
And it was done really. You looked at it, and I'm like, hey, this is great. If they ever do a movie, look at this. They've really done a great job of this. And they do a movie, and they go through a. You know, you keep hearing about who they're thinking about casting or who they're going to do this with, and you finally get to it where they're like, here's the people who are going to be it. Okay, all right.
So what does it say about a film when the fan film gets more credit than the actual?
Well, let me clarify a little bit. That was a extremely wealthy and connected fan film.
Okay,
the guy had directing credits.
Okay,
he had relationships with the actors who were in it.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a better position to make a film than most people would be.
Okay, but would you still call it a fan film though?
That's a tough one. I would say it would be a top tier fan film, maybe. If you want to say that, it's still made by a fan who put it out there for free,
mm-hmm.
made nothing off of it.
Labor of love, then.
Right.
Yeah.
So he is a fan of the series, and he made a movie off of it. It just he happens to be a director already, has connections, and
a well-made fan film.
Yeah.
So just put it in that category.
I think he put it out there because maybe they would see it and say, okay, this can be done. Let's do something with it, either through a series or through a movie,
mm-hmm.
and look what we've done so far to see what the reaction was going to be. The reaction was great to it, but, you know, Sony's a company that, as far as films are concerned, without outside interference, they'll shoot themselves in the foot almost every single time
mm-hmm.
when it comes to adaptations like this.
Yeah.
If you go back to the Spider-Man series of films, that third one with the Toby years did not do well or was very good at all. And then they made two of the reboot versions with what's his name?
Garfield.
Yeah,
Andrew
yeah.
Garfield. Yeah.
Yeah, with Garfield, and said, "Ah, oh, we can't do this." And it wasn't until they teamed up with Marvel and had that sort of shared creative experience there that they were able to get these things to I mean, they were already making profits on the other films, but I mean, massive profits once they tied it in with Marvel to help them out, which they also did, I believe, with Venom as well, the Venom series. But left to their own devices, they will spoil a story in a trailer or spoil an entire movie in a trailer because they don't know how to cut trailers. Or will, you know, get the casting wrong or whatever. Speed something so fast, you know, get something through so fast that just they're getting it done because they say they can get it done. They're not getting it done right, is the other part. I'm not going to be that much of a stickler on it. I mean, it sounds like I am right now, but I'm probably going to go watch the movie, and I'm not going to try and compare it to the video games, even though there are specific set pieces that are to be compared to the game itself. But that's okay. I don't care. I'm watching an Uncharted movie.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of notable moments in the Uncharted series that you would like to see in this film and see how well they execute it.
Right. And if I want to experience those and the film doesn't give it to me, I've got the games. This is why I'm never worried about these things.
Or you can just go to YouTube and look
at it. If you want to do that too, you can do that as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of games, speaking of Uncharted, we do have to go. This is music, by the way, from Uncharted 2, since I've been playing it recently. Well, finished it up the other day. But we do have to go. That is going to do it for us. I want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat room, who joined us on Discord, who called Chris, who called in, who were so very patient with us while I was trying to find my TV specs and just got so obsessive over it. But really do appreciate you guys every single week tuning into this. Go to ingamechat.net, where you can find us on Twitter, Facebook. You can email us, join us on Steam, join us in the Discord, that sort of thing. Just want to thank you guys for listening. Have a fantastic week. We will see you next Saturday. Music from Uncharted 2. This is called The Road to Shambhala. Have a good night.